Thank you, Lord. Our toes are on the tips of a new move of God revival. It's not that we live in the future. We seize the moment. We share the gospel now. We make the most of now, but we know and we sense that there's something greater on the horizon. We can feel it. We can taste it. It's not something that's far off, but it's something so clear and so near to us, even now, this day. Father, we love you today. We worship you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, over the last few months. Some of us have struggled and faced difficulties, but you have been there. Your peace, your love. We thank you, God, for such faithfulness this year, God, that even according to your word, it is true what you say. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same in 2020, regardless of what happens. And he'll be the same tomorrow, forever and ever and ever more. Let's give Jesus a big shout of praise. Jesus!
Jesus!
Well, good morning to you all. You know, if you just stay up standing at the moment, because I've got something I want to do shortly. But, you know, it's good to see you this morning. Isn't it great to be at church? You know, we enjoyed church before the whole lockdown, but, I mean, it's just so good to be together again, isn't it? And want to welcome you. Look, I haven't, you know, it's great to be this first service here because I haven't seen a lot of you, so it's good to see you. And a special welcome to those who are online. Great to have you with us. We know you're out there. We know you've got your rug and your curlers in your hair and your hot chocolate. And anyway, be blessed. We're glad you're with us and just enjoy your time with us today. Level one. Woo. Do you know what's good about level one is that some of the largest churches right through this country now can meet. And so it's just so awesome. So awesome. And a lot of praise has been given out to Team New Zealand. And, you know, for the health system and, for Dr. Ashley Boomfield, apparently he had a broad smile when he found out we're going to level one. There's a bit of a video about him there. But you know what? I think, you know, that there's somebody here that deserves the most praise. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I know that many through this nation have been praying and fasting. And I think he has something to do with what's happening in our nation and even in the earth. And so I think we should give him praise this morning. What do you reckon?
Amen.
Are you ready to give him awesome praise? I mean, not just a little praise. Come on, there's something significant happening. It's just the beginning. We know that. But we will continue to go from strength to strength in this nation. The church will go from strength to strength. And this crisis will come to an end in Jesus' mighty name. God will show himself faithful and God will show himself strong and mighty. Let's give him a shout of praise. Jesus, Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You good, Peter? Woo! Remember I prophesied one time about joy coming to you? That's still true. It's going to come, man. Real strong. Like you've never experienced before. Get ready. It's coming to your life. Hey, guys. Thank you, worship team. Awesome. Appreciate you. Give them a hand as they go. So before we take up the offering, let me read a scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. If I read these scriptures this morning, they will be up on the screen for you to see. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. So if they decide in your heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God what? God loves a cheerful giver. I was amazed by that scripture when I was just reading it last week. Those five words, God loves a cheerful giver. Particularly that word loves. That's something for your home groups this week. You're going to be meeting for your home groups this week to have a study and talk about. That's quite an amazing, thought-provoking scripture. God loves a cheerful giver. Let me pray for you this morning as we give. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity this morning to give. We know people are giving out of sacrifice. We know people are giving out of faith. And we pray for people like that this morning. We pray, Father, for businesses that are struggling, that you will give them ideas and give them favor, God, and blessing which they did not expect. Father, we pray for people in this place, that in our church, that have not got a job, that you would lead them to a job. You would open a door in the name of Jesus. Lord, you show yourself strong to people in this service here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, yes. And thank you, those guys who are collecting the giving, if you can please do that. Now, I have a book that's available this morning. It's called A New Outpouring. And as it says in my book, there's signs that this is beginning to emerge, even amongst all that's happening. And it's A New Outpouring, How to Prepare for It, how you can get ready for it, and what it looks like. And so I've got a video clip here, which I have got produced. And the two reasons I'm showing this video clip is, one, because just giving you an idea of the theme of my book, but also I just felt there's a prophetic word in this particular video, and I'm just believing that some people are going to be encouraged by it. So thank you, Christine, if you can show that. There's something exciting about the time we're in. I tell you, just the thought of people beginning to stretch out their hands to God, saying, God, we're so grateful what you've given us, but we just know there's so much more. We are on the brink of a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It is a day of great moves and great power and great opportunity. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to throw in the towel. This is the time to rise up. This is the time to push forward in Jesus' mighty name. Big part of the church around the world is beginning to seek God. Dear God, what's going to happen? This could be the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. There's never been possibly like this before. And now there's live streaming, and now it's just global. What if it's going to be a global seeking and a global prayer meeting? It's going to be a global move. It's going to be a global outpouring. No, not yet, but that would be good some stage, yeah. So it's available on the table there to get in one other book. And by the way, Oscar James, is he here this morning? He was one that produced that. So he did a great job. So we are on the brink of a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are. Doesn't faze me what's happened this year. I'll explain why later. This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to throw in the towel. Because some people do at this time. This is the time to rise up. This is the time to push forward in Jesus' mighty name. This morning I want to talk about prophetic perspective for 2020. And I have five keys to fulfillment of prophecy. Five keys to fulfillment of prophecy, whether it's prophecy you've received, a prophecy for a church, or a prophecy a nation has received. And then I'm going to apply it to this year. Prophetic perspective. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Extinguish your cigarettes. That's what they used to say in the old days. Because we're not promoting smoking, so. Number one, the first key to fulfilling prophecy is right timing. Sid Roth, you know the program Sid Roth, is supernatural. He said just a couple of months ago that most prophets miss it in timing. And I believe it's true also of a lot of Christians. They miss it in timing when it comes to prophecy. I know it's true of me. I had to learn this over the years. You see, it takes time for prophecy to be fulfilled. Let me give you a couple examples. Abraham, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12. And now this is not necessarily a prophecy because there's not a person involved in this, but it applies to this point. But God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 and he said, you're going to be a father of many nations. Boy, he was excited when he got this and he ran to Sarah. And says, Sarah, guess what? God says we're going to be a father of many nations. Now, Sarah probably wasn't as excited by that. And he said, we're going to have a baby. So we need to extend the tent. We need to go to the warehouse where everybody gets a bargain. And has the living wage. That's good. And get some baby clothes and get some nappies and get some toys. It was this, I'm so excited. A year or two passed and no sign of any baby. Abraham, now he's getting discouraged. Faith, God said, God, woo, Sarah, no worry. 5 years, 7 years, 8 years passed. Now he's getting discouraged. That's why God had to remind him again, the word of the Lord. That's why God reminds us over and over again, prophecies. He says, I want to tell you again, this is going to happen because we're getting discouraged. It took 25 years before they finally had their first child. It takes time for the prophetic word to be fulfilled. When I was 21 years old, young and a lot slimmer than I am now, I was in the Philippines. And I was at my parents' church there. I grew up in the Philippines and I was at my parents' church there and there was some fivefold ministry. They got around me and they're praying for me. There was this American evangelist, old-time evangelist preacher. He's in his 80s now, still going. He just quote the scriptures one after the other. Anyways, these people got around me and they prophesied all these great things. You should have been there. I tell you, it's awesome. And I tell you, think about prophecy. When you get prophecy, it's full of faith and it's full of urgency and you feel like it's going to happen tomorrow. And sometimes that's the fooling part. Anyway, I left there and went to Faith Bible College for a year in Tararong. I had a great, powerful time. Came back and was in Dunedin. And I was seeking God for the fulfillment of this prophecy. And you know, this amazing going to the nations. Where is God going to lead me? Oh, I'm waiting for this great word. And God says, stay in Dunedin. Ben Affleck from Dunedin. That's the skinny ad. That's right, the second service will get it. And says, stay in Dunedin. I didn't want to stay in Dunedin, believe me. However, I found something really good in Dunedin. I found my wife. That's another story. But anyways, and then I ended up working in a factory for 4 years. And that was my first lesson, that it takes time for a prophecy to be fulfilled. I've heard someone say that when God speaks through a person and says, I'm going to do something now, it can take 1 to 3 years. A now word. We think now with God sometimes means now, right? No. I've heard that if God says, I'm about to do something or something's coming, it can take between 3 and 5 years. Or if he says, in the days ahead, well, look out, that's going to be a few years. I've had a few of those in the days ahead. And they're not days. They're years. But you see, often it takes longer than we think for the word of the Lord to be fulfilled. In the last few years, there have been many prophecies of a new season of revival, of fulfillment of dreams. And you may have received some of them too. And then 2020 happened, the crisis. In fact, can you show that photo there? I don't know if you're ready for that, but there's a photo on there. I wasn't going to do this, but if you can, great. If you can't, it's not important. My sermon won't break down or fall apart. That photo there. Does that describe how it was for some of you? Me being ready for 2020. Woo! Me in March. And I'm sure there are people who are doubting the prophecies over the last few years. Maybe your prophecies or the prophecies over the church revival. You feel discouraged and disappointed. But I don't believe those prophecies were necessarily wrong. It's just taking us a lot longer than we thought. And it always is that case. Just note some of those prophecies, the language, we're about to come into a move of God. We're coming into. And I want, though, to again declare what I believe is true. Is that we are coming into a new season of revival where dreams will be fulfilled, where prophecies will be fulfilled. And what we're experiencing this year is simply the birth pangs of a new move of God. You know, when a baby's born, there's a stretching going on. Well, you know what? In the earth, there is some stretching going on. There's some church leaders and people that have been stretched like they've never been stretched before. That's because something big is about to be born. If you've been stretched like you've never been stretched before, that's because a baby's going to be born. A prophecy is going to be formed. A dream is going to be born. Can you say yes? Old wineskins are being removed. And there's a dismantling of the old season. Number two, the second key to fulfill prophecy is accurate interpretation. Accurate interpretation. We need to accurately interpret prophecy. Let me give you some examples of wrong interpretation. Joseph had a prophetic dream in Genesis 37. Again, it wasn't a prophecy, but it applies to this point. And about his brothers bowing to him. I can guarantee you, my Honda Stream out there, that Joseph thought in his mind that his dream was going to be fulfilled with his brothers where he lived. Maybe he was going to be in charge of the family business. I guarantee you he did not think that his prophetic dream would have been fulfilled in Egypt as a prime minister. That's what it fulfilled. You know, I was talking about this with my wife last week. This whole idea of a wrong interpretation prophecy. She reminded me when we were in Dunedin. And she had a number of prophecies. And she said that she, in her mind, she thought that those prophecies were going to be fulfilled in that church in Dunedin. But they weren't. Because see, sometimes we contextualize prophecies. In fact, here is really the beginning of where they're starting to be fulfilled. You know, in September, I gave a prophetic word in this church one Sunday evening, 6 months ago. You may not have been here. You might have been watching Shortland Street. I don't even know if Shortland Street's on Sunday night. But you know, I've got a clip. I've got my friend Oscar James put in a clip, and I want to show this for two reasons. One, because it's an example of what I'm talking about now with wrong interpretation from my part. But secondly, I just felt, you know, I looked over last week, and I just felt in my heart, I need to get this out. I need to get this out. So have a listen to this. We know that there's so many people that need to come into the kingdom of God. That this nation needs to be shaken like it never has been before.
I believe this nation is going to get turned upside down on its belly, on its back. And some of that's going to be good and some of it's bad. You know, some of it's bad. But men everywhere are going to start to call upon the name of the Lord. Business people, mums, government officials, policemen, firemen, men and women are going to start to turn to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Our nation will be shaken, but many will call upon the name of the Lord. Doesn't that almost bring tears to your eyes? And I saw like the church, like a bug, the nation is in like a bug, you know, an insect on its back. And later on, I said in one or two places, I saw the church of New Zealand, the churches in New Zealand on their back. And not that it was a place of defeat, but we were being challenged. And I believe a lot of good things would come out of that. But you know, in my mind, I had something in my mind that was going to cause that to happen. I never thought it was going to be a virus. And I learned once again that we must be careful. We should never assume what a prophetic word means. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29 says this. In the King James Version, it should be up there in a minute. Let two or three prophets speak and let others judge. Another version says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. Another version says, and let the others evaluate what is said. When we receive a prophetic word, we should evaluate it, pray about it, talk to others about it, so we can accurately interpret it. Having said that, we will never fully know many times what a prophetic word actually means, as with Joseph, because I think there's a mystery to it, and part of the reason is that God doesn't show us everything because he wants us to walk by faith, and he wants us to trust him. Number three, the third key to fulfilled prophecy is unwavering faith. Many times the opposite happens to prophetic words. Did you notice that? Abraham, thou shalt be the father of many nations. And he can't even have one baby. Joseph, you are going to rule and reign. And then Joseph becomes a slave and a prisoner. You know, I had in 2004, I received a prophecy from a man that from New Zealand, but he lived in America, and he came back, and he said, "Mark, you're like a big dog." I'm glad he used dogs, because I like dogs. My wife won't let me have a dog. Isn't that awful? I knew you'd sympathize with me. He says, "Mark, you're chewing on small bones, but God's gonna give you a big bone." And he says, "Mark, you're going to be a hound dog." I actually believe that's a prophetic word for somebody this morning. You're chewing on small bones at the moment, but God's going to give you a big bone, something to devour, something to sink your teeth in instead of munching on those little chicken bones. No more chicken bones, Peter. I feel some big bones are coming your way. And, you know, I was, of course, excited about it. And woohoo, God's going to give me a big boy. Woohoo. 2 weeks, it was awesome. But, you know, the next year, the bones got smaller. I was in a church where I had to step down because I was at the end of a season. So I was no preaching, no nothing. Our business was struggling. So I ended up having to, I was 35 years old. I had to end up delivering pizzas. I was hanging out. I was standing outside the pizza place with teenagers. Good time to share God, but, you know, wasn't quite exactly my proudest moment. I worked in factories. I seem to have this gravitation where God takes me to factories. I remember one factory, 12-hour shifts. You'd go in there, and the night shift would pass you on the way out in. And then when you finish that shift, you're going out. The night shift is coming back. It was amazing. And the opposite happened to what God had said. Many received prophecies about going to the nations. Maybe some are here today. As a church, we receive prophecies about impacting the nations. Woohoo! And it won't be just through this camera, although that will be part of it. But then the lockdown happened. And we couldn't even get past our park, neighborhood park, let alone get to the nations. I just got to laugh in faith. And the borders were shut. And I was surprised by this crisis, but I was not surprised. I was surprised because I never saw it coming like a lot of people. Some experts warned us, but a lot of people didn't see this coming. I'm not surprised because I know this principle that many times when the prophetic word is declared, the opposite will happen. And during this time, we must have the unwavering faith of Abraham. Romans 4, 18 to 32, it'll be up there in a minute. Sorry, to 22, 18, 22. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. There's the opposite. You're going to have a baby. Now you're old. There's no way it's going to happen. But he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Are you fully convinced that what God has spoken through his word, what God has spoken through you prophetically, that it will come to pass? There are some prophecies you hear, it's like, oh, whatever. There are other prophecies that stick in your spirit, and the years may pass and opposites may happen, but you know it's the word of the Lord and it shall come to pass. And so it is with the churches, with this church, the prophetic words that have come to this church. They are not pizza words. They are not by in the sky kind of carry on. They are substance and powerful words. And I want to declare afresh, even in the year 2020, with all the crisis, they shall come to pass. They will. Do not doubt, but believe. And as we have an unwavering faith in the prophetic words, despite the opposite circumstance occurring, God will perform what he said he would do. I heard somebody in the government, I won't mention any names, saying a few months ago, 1 or 2 months ago, the borders will be closed for a long time. And when they said it was like a long time. I thought, you can't say that. You better say I believe or feel. But something inside of me said, no, 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 no. Because there's another government on his shoulders, the kingdom, there's another kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. And when the Lord says the borders shall open in this nation and open in the nations of the earth, they shall open in Jesus' name. When he said it's time for the prophetic word to happen, the borders will open. The planes will no longer be parked, but they will begin to fly again. I see a day soon when planes will fly once again. And once again, people, evangelists, prophets and pastors will go to the nation. And oh, it shall be a glorious day in that time. Yeah. When God, and I believe in all the practicalities of washing hand. I believe that when I cross the road in the Philippines, very busy, I look both ways. I don't go, thank you, Jesus, and I get hit by a big bus. I believe in being practical. But however God will do it, whether he lets us do it or whatever it is, but when the day comes when God says enough for this virus, it'll be done because he has the last word. I respect governments because we're meant to, but I'm sorry. In my opinion, he has the last word. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the government rests upon his shoulders. Thank God for another government. I respect the government as the Bible says, but thank God there's another government in this nation. Fourth key to fulfilled prophecy, this is going to be quick, is regular recall. Regular recall. Not total recall, that's a movie. Regular recall. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 8, this is in the NIV translation. I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you. By recalling them, you may fight the battle well. King James says, you may wage the battle, the war, good warfare. By recalling them, you may fight the battle well. Paul said to do two things with prophecy. Number one, recall them. There was a teaching in 80s and 90s. I haven't heard so much of it now, but the whole teaching was put your prophecies on the shelf. Now, I'm not so fond of that analogy because you know what happens to books and stuff on the shelf? It gathers dust and you forget about it. I don't believe we should put our prophecies on the shelf. We should put them in a place where we can see them on our fridge, on our computer, in our memory. I believe that's, you know, often a lot of my prophecies, I memorize them. And I believe that's what Paul was saying in this verse. And second thing Paul said to do with prophecies is to use them to overcome the enemy. Paul said, by recalling them, you might fight the battle well. God has given us prophecy to help us overcome the enemy. They give us hope in the battle. Satan would like to puff them out and cast doubt, because he knows even in this year and all the obstacles and all the challenges, those prophetic words give us hope. We're going to make it through. There's a better day. God is working through this. If you're in a battle with the enemy, if you're struggling with discouragement or disappointment or depression, now's the time to have your prophecies in front of you. Not on the shelf. Get them off the shelf that you might fight the battle well and see what God has said come to pass. Look very quickly, 30 seconds. The fifth key to fulfilled prophecy is guided steps. The Holy Spirit leads us into situations, jobs, seasons, and locations to develop in us the character, wisdom, gifting, and anointed needed to fulfill our prophecies. He invites us to be actively involved in the process. Two wrong thinkings about prophecy. God will make it happen without me, or I will make it happen without God. The truth is, it's both. More of God than us, but it's both. We're just leading by step by step. Can we stand at our feet this morning? Can I have, please have the worship team? I want to do something. One last thing shortly. Before I do, you may be here this morning and you have people in your life that are talking to you about Jesus. They're explaining to you about Christian, what it means to be a Christian. I don't have to explain it to you this morning, but you've been thinking about making a decision to ask Jesus into your life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for your sin because he died on the cross. And because of that, you can have eternal life. Even though you die, you'll live forever in heaven. When we invite Jesus into lives, he gives us purpose. He gives us hope. He'll give you a joy you never knew. It doesn't mean that you won't have hard times. It'll be more harder for you as a Christian than not being a Christian, I assure you. But what's amazing is that Jesus is with us, all those things, encouraging us, speaking to us, not in a weird way, a big loud voice, but in your heart or through people. I would just want to give an opportunity this morning. Is there anybody here? You say, you know what? I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to make that decision. It's going to be the best decision. Maybe you're away from the Lord. And maybe what has happened this last few months has really made you think about your life. Is there anybody, before we move on here, that says, I want to give my life to Jesus? I want to ask you to do one thing first. I want to ask you to raise your hand. Is there anybody here who wants to give their life to Jesus? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Or maybe you want to come back to the Lord. You're backslidden. Well, we're just going to pray with the people online, because maybe there's somebody right now online who you want to give your life to Jesus. If you are in that situation, let's pray after me, church. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Thank you that you died on the cross to forgive my sins, which separated me from God. I invite you into my life now, Jesus. Father, we just pray, touch that person right now. Fill them with your spirit. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt they are saved in the mighty name of Jesus. We just pray for those people online that, Lord, that they would feel encouraged by the word. They'd be strengthened wherever you're sitting right now. I believe at least one person is watching me right now. And this word is the word for you. It's God speaking to you. Father, strengthen them, encourage them in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's give Jesus a big shout of praise. Jesus! Come on, PJ. I said Jesus! Come on. Come on, you can do better than that. Jesus! Woo! Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. Because you see, the media has spoken. And not all the media is bad. I'm not saying that. But the media has spoken. The government has spoken. But then there is the word of the Lord. Yeah. Then there is God, which speaks. And what God says is worth more weight than anything else. Hallelujah, Peter. Hallelujah. The church in this nation will triumph through it all. We'll go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Woo! It's all right, I don't know what time it is. Woo! Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on, come on. We shall triumph, we shall triumph, we shall triumph. I see victory in the air, victory in the air. Victory, 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 victory. Joy, 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 joy of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Because what I'm doing now is I'm beginning to shift that spirit off you. That spirit of discouragement, that spirit of depression, that lie of Satan right now, I'm breaking it off in the name of Jesus Christ. Woo! No weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed against the church shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Not even a coronavirus. Woo! Ooh, come here, Peter. Come here, Peter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Woo! Sharakataka batokororonda. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Come here, kid. It's okay. It's legal. We can pray for people. Oh, thank you, Jesus, the power of God. Woo! Shakara mahandala siyalanda. Nawa. As the Lord has spoken, so shall it be. Do not doubt, for it shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Ooh. What are we going to do? We got 5 minutes. God could do in a minute what may normally take 2 hours. if you're here this morning and you're feeling oppressed, I felt that in the beginning of lockdown, I was fighting some demons. I know there's a natural dynamic, but the spirits, I was fighting spiritual despair. It took me, and depression took 3 weeks to push through. Then even a lot, every week, it's like it gets better. Some of you, you got that thing over you. You know, when you come out of an attack, it's only sometimes after you come out of attack, you realize you've been in an attack of the enemy. And I know there's a natural arena with all this, but there's also the spiritual. And I'm praying this morning that we're going to sing the song Anthem Revival before we head off to our coffee and tea and meet up with the other flock. Them, you know, them, the people that sleep in. Yeah, those people. Me. But I believe as we sing this song that God is going to break change, is going to break the spirit over people. You're going to leave this place with something shifted off your life. And Father, we pray, Lord, that will happen this morning, that the power of God will come, that depression will go, that fear will go, that lies will go, and it will be replaced by joy, that you're turning our mourning into dancing and our sorrow into joy. Father, be paced by happiness and peace in Jesus' mighty name. Let's sing this song in faith. Yeah, it's a prophetic declaration. Thanks, guys.